1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. Do you remember when you were a child and you had a Christmas list? You had a list of things that you wanted to get or maybe that you wanted to give to somebody else. Now let's be honest here. How many of you, maybe when you were little, maybe it was even this year or last year, that you had a Christmas list. Sometime in your life, you had a Christmas list at one time or another. Just slip your hand up. Raise your hand. That too. Almost everybody. Maybe some of you didn't, but most everybody did. I remember when I did. My mom hated when the new JCPenney catalog would come in. Remember those big, thick JCPenney catalogs? I remember those. You know, all right. I would go through, and I would go right to the toy section, and I would start circling things. Mom, I like this, and I like this, and then I'd write it out, and I would submit my case. Never one time got any of the things I asked for, but I always got good gifts for Christmas. Do we remember that when we had that Christmas list of wishes of things that we could have? Well, this morning I want us to think about something different this morning. This is Thanksgiving time. We have Thanksgiving on Thursday. And we're very good about lists when it comes to things that we want. But what about a list of things that we already have? This morning, I want us to do some hard thinking and go down our very own Thanksgiving list in a message entitled Our Thanksgiving List. We're going to look at five things this morning. This is not exhaustive, but it gets us thinking about what are we to be thankful for as a Christian. And we should be in an attitude of thankfulness year-round, 24/7, and it's not just reserved for the third Thursday in November every year. Amen? And so we need to be in an attitude of thankfulness. Let's all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 this morning. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let us pray. Dearly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be full of thanks. We have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I pray that these reminders this morning would touch our hearts. And Lord, you touch my heart with these things. And Lord, perhaps there are some things that we have forgotten to be thankful for and that you remind us of this morning. And Lord, oh, unthankfulness is so abounding today. And Lord, so many things we take for granted. Oh Lord, I pray that we would never take these for granted this morning. We thank and we praise you. Touch hearts this morning and give me the words to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our Thanksgiving list. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is a very clear command of God. In the last part of chapter 5, there's a list of things, and this is very much a Proverbs-like passage. We see the verse after, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings, meaning do not despise preaching. Do not despise that instruction. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All of these are important, not necessarily related to one another, but separate thoughts. And right here in the middle, in verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? That means in everything. Everything that happens in our life, we ought to give thanks. Amen? That's easy when we're having wonderful things happening in our life, but are we thankful for what is happening even in the hard times of what God is doing in our life and working in our life? For this is the will of God. We looked about the will of God on Wednesday, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So for the Christian, this is God's will for every single Christian. And just in case we thought God wasn't talking to us, he said, concerning you. Amen? We think, oh, God's not talking to us about in this area. God's not talking to me. This message is for every single person in here this morning, that we ought to be thankful in everything. But what are some things? And sometimes we say, well, I know I need to be thankful, but I'm racking my brain. I can't think of anything to be thankful for this morning. Well, number one on our list of thankfulness is eternal life. Amen? That should be number one in our list all the time. There is no greater gift given to mankind than that of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. There is no greater gift given to mankind. And I know, and we hear it a lot, and we witness, and we hear that, and we read the scriptures, but sometimes those things, we can lose sight of the significance of our eternal life. We can lose sight of that, the how important this is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What does it mean, unspeakable, that we can't talk about? No, it is impossible for man to describe salvation. Amen? It is impossible for us to have adequate words. We can give a shadow or a glimmer, and we see God's words concerning it, and it's described in so many wonderful and miraculous ways, but it is indescribable for man to describe the gravity of eternal life. It is impossible. And sometimes, since we cannot describe it, we forget about it. We forget the thankfulness we ought to have every single day. The first thing that we ought to be saying every single day, my brother-in-law, Pastor Joseph Grab, ever notice when he prays, he says, thank you for eternal life first. Every time I've heard him pray, he says that. And that's a good practice to get into. That we be thankful, lest we forget to be thankful for the salvation that we have. We're to be thankful every moment of every day for the salvation from sin that we have. We should never take it for granted. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. To remember his sacrifice. This do in remembrance of me. To remember his broken body. Remember he was marred more than any man. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was, every bone of his body was out of joint, yet not one bone broken, according to prophecy. And also we see him, remember his shed blood. And remember the great spiritual burden laid upon him. It is impossible to be truly thankful for something, however, until you've personally received it. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you do not understand what it is to be saved, then we can't be truly thankful for something we never received. Amen? We can't be truly thankful for that. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can accept him today. Have you been born again? Look at John chapter 3. We'll look at verses 1 through 10. And we see the account of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night and questioning him regarding eternal life. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, meaning truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We all have a natural birth, and we must have a spiritual birth. And if you never accepted God's gift of eternal life, then you've never been spiritually born again. And this is something that is hard for man to comprehend, hard for man to understand. But we must accept it by faith that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to earth to live a perfect life, sent him to die and suffer upon Calvary's tree and shed his blood in our place. And we can trust him and accept that gift of salvation, for Jesus died for our sin. He died for your personal sin. Your personal sin. And once again, coming back to this book, it's interesting how he describes that in the last part of the book. I encourage you to read it because it's very thought-provoking. God sees the end from the beginning, and he knows what sins we were going to do. Interesting thing to think about. He knows all things. He knows what we were going to do. Jesus knew all the sin that man was going to commit, and he paid for every single bit of it on the cross. That's a powerful thought. He died and suffered for your sin. And you can accept that gift today. Nicodemus was seeking for eternal truth. He did not find it in the works that he was doing. He was a Pharisee. He believed in working his way. That's right, Megan. Amen, right? Amen. He did not find it in works or in rituals. He found it in Christ alone. We see him. He was at the burial of Jesus. And we assume that he trusted in Christ as his Savior. If we are truly thankful, then we will tell others about the gift that we have received. Now, Let's think about this. If someone gave you a brand new $1 million house, I mean, a beautiful house, and, you know, in Texas, $1 million will buy you quite a house. You know, if you look around here, that'll buy you probably about 150 acres, you know, a 4,000-square-foot house, maybe your own butler, you know, and just something really nice. But on top of that, not only that, but they paid to have it cleaned and taken care of for the rest of your life. As a pastor, do you know someone like that? I mean, I'm looking to get something like that. Now, if that happened, someone gave you that $1 million house and all of that, and you say, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody about that. You know what? What would we be doing? We'd be screaming. We'd be calling everybody up. Do you know what just happened to me? Someone just gave me $1 million house. Come on over and see it. We're going to tell people about it, right? Michael, Pastor, I know where you're going with this. I know that look. Well, you would tell everyone else about it, wouldn't you? Every person would. We have a more precious gift than that, an eternal life. We have a heavenly mansion and fellowship with the Son of God in the sinless and perfect halls of heaven for all of eternity. Would you tell someone else about that? That's the reality. If not, then you are ashamed of what Christ did for you and you are not thankful. We don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that. But if we're not telling others about it, the preciousness of it, then we're not truly thankful and we're ashamed of Christ and what he did for us. What did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We view God's gift of salvation like those pair of socks Grandma used to give us every Christmas. That we didn't want to tell anybody about, that we weren't thankful for. Our eternal life is something to be very thankful for. It's something that we ought to be thanking God every day, and because we're thankful, telling others about it so they can experience the free gift that God gives to all. So let's be truly thankful for our eternal salvation. So that's the first thing. Number one on our list is eternal life. Second, family. Family. One thing that we should never take for granted is our family. As a pastor, you don't know my family. You know why? Guess what? We all have special family members, right? We all have those. There's one in every family. Sometimes some families have more than one. But remember, God gave them to you, and here's the thought, and he gave you to them. Think about that. God gave you to your family. That's right, I'm such a gift to my family. Maybe you should talk to your family about that. Ruth chapter 1 this morning. Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 is a powerful testament to the importance of family. And we see in the book of Ruth, we know the account in generality that how Naomi and her husband had taken their two sons and gone to Moab, had moved away from the land of God, and now, her husband had died and her two sons had died and her two daughter-in-laws are now faced with a decision. And she told them to go back to their families there in Moab, but Ruth would not. And for some reason, I am having trouble finding Ruth this morning. All right, here we go. Right after, in between Judges there, I keep skipping. There it is. Keep skipping over it. All right, Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people should be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put death, aught but death, part thee and me." That's a commitment. That's a family commitment. She had come to know the Lord. The Moabites were heathen people. They had worshipped pagan gods. But Ruth had gotten saved. Ruth had come to worship Jehovah God and had trusted in the Messiah for salvation. And we see that families today are many times overtaken by selfishness and a lack of respect for one another. We do not see the value that individual or individuals of the family bring to the family. And you know, and that's the time, well, Thanksgiving is the time that we all gather at somebody at someone's house that we don't want to be at, and we eat Thanksgiving dinner with people we wouldn't normally hang out with. Right? That's what Thanksgiving has become some in some families. But we should be thankful for our family, even if there are some faults and some rough edge. And guess what? You have some too. You know what? Maybe that person drives you nuts, but you probably drive someone else in the family nuts. But we all should come to a place of being thankful for them. Because it's real easy. Anyone can see the bad in someone. That's real easy. That's sin nature for you. We can find the bad things in anybody. That's really easy to find those. But it takes a person who truly loves you to see the good attributes that are in you. Because we're all sinners. Amen. Romans 3:20. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is easy to be critical and to judge others who act differently and think differently than you do. But they're your family. They might not necessarily be right, but they're your family. You need to be thankful for your family. Here's why. Many do not have families. There are so many people. And I remember in college, many times I talked to people. And they would say, you know, my roommate just driving me nuts. Because they complain about their parents, they complain about their brothers, they complain about their grandparents, and everybody's on their case, and everyone's trying to give them advice. I wish everyone would just leave them alone. And he said, but I was an orphan. I never had anybody. And I wish I had someone to share with me and care about me. I knew several people like that. I said, I just don't get it. I said, if I had a family, man, I'd be thanking God every day that I had a family. Oh, that's something we can easily lose sight of. We're unthankful for our family. Many do not have families. Some do not have, they have families, but they don't care about them. That's hard. That's becoming more and more the case today. Have families that don't love them. Maybe some have lost families. They used to have one, but they lost them in tragedy. Many have their families many miles away and cannot communicate with them. That's why it's so important here. We have so many soldiers here at Fort Hood that some of them are different parts of the world, some of them different parts of the country, that we kind of become their family for them and care about them. And that just ask them how their week was and ask them if they're doing okay. No one else asks them that question, and they're thankful for it. In America, we are so blessed with money to travel and technology to connect with people. Don't ever be unthankful for your family because God gave them to you. Remember that. God gave them your family, gave you the family. Remember, God only knows how to give good gifts. They say, well, did God really know what he was doing when he gave me my certain family member? I don't know about that. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. And Thursday, this third Thursday in November, is not just the one time here. Oh, we'll all come together as family, and we're thankful for family, and we're thankful, and that's the one day out of the year. No, every day. We ought to have an attitude of thankfulness. Why? This is his will in Christ Jesus concerning you. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Comes down from above. So, well, my family's not saved. Well, I love the testimony given in soul winning class, Brother Stainer there, and how he was able to lead his grandfather-in-law to the Lord, and how everyone had been praying for him to be saved. And do you pray for your family to be saved? You say, well, I've been praying for a long time. Doesn't seem to do any good. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. Pray all the more. The day will come when God gives you an opportunity. He gives everyone an opportunity, amen? He gives everyone an opportunity. And God might use you, might use someone else. Are we thankful for our family members? Are we thankful for our parents? Oh, today is so rampant. Kids are not thankful for their parents. You know, and all kids are tempted to be unthankful for what they're given. You know, my son is a picky eater. Maybe you know, some of you know this. And we're trying to teach him. They say, well, I don't like that. It wasn't what I, not what I ordered. I said, well, in my house, when I grew up, we didn't get, my mom wasn't a short order cook. She just, whatever was there, that was it. Go hungry. You know, and it was always good. I mean, my mom is an excellent cook. It was always good food. Maybe it wasn't, but Mom, we had this last week, and we're having it this week. Eat it and be thankful. We were taught to be thankful. And, you know, children sometimes, like, well, they don't want to eat this, they don't want to eat that, and my son's kind of like that. I said, you know what? A lot of kids in different parts of the world would love to have the food you're eating right now because they don't have any. And, you know, kids sometimes think that, so that must be a parent's stock line. They always pull that out. Now, you know, kids in Africa don't have this food, but it's true. It's not something we're making up. It's true. Are we thankful for it? Are you thankful for your kids? I think Mrs. Harvey was sharing with me. She was at the supermarket this week. And she was out there, and there was a lady in front of her, and she had several kids that were misbehaving, and she had another gentleman in front of her, in front of Mrs. Harvey there. So there's a gentleman between her and the other guy, the lady there. And the lady said, oh, man, why do you even have kids? They're such a pain. Yes. Oh, yeah. Mrs. Harvey didn't say anything. She said it was really hard, though. It was really hard. But the guy behind her doesn't think that he was saved, but he says it's just amazing how some parents think of their kids. And Miss Harvey said, yes, we're to be thankful for our kids and cherish our kids. He goes, yes, me and my wife can't have kids. And that's unthankfulness. And that's what's prevalent in our world. That's a selfish way to think. So be thankful for your family. Be thankful for the kids that you have. Amen? We need to be thankful for our families. Third, this morning, victory. You need to be thankful for victory because we're in a constant spiritual battle. We're in the fight for souls and the hearts of men. We are soldiers of the cross, and we have victory over the darkness of this life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful that we've already won? Amen? Oh, why? It gets quiet. Amen? We ought to be thankful for victory because we get so down in the dumps and we get down, oh, what a life is so horrible. Hey, you're victorious. You can be if you're a Christian. Are you thankful for the victory that Christ already completed on the cross? Are we thankful for the victory that we have? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm not saying that life isn't a battle. I'm not saying there's going to be trials that you go through. There are, but we win if you're saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The victory that we have is in Christ Jesus. We have the power of God to be victorious over sin. Isn't it wonderful not to be a slave to sin? Amen? You know, but a lot of people aren't thankful because they still are a slave to sin. They choose to be. It's not because they have a disease. It's not because they were born that way. It's because they make a choice to be a slave to sin, even saved people. They choose to be a slave to pornography. They choose to be a slave to smoking. They choose to be a slave to prescription drugs. They choose to be a slave to alcohol. They choose to be a slave to lying. They choose to be a slave. Any type of sin you want, they choose to be a slave to it. Christ has given them the victory. Amen. And that's a victory we ought to be thankful for, that we don't have to live in the unprofitable works of the flesh, but that we can live and walk in the Spirit in the new man. We ought to be thankful for that, that we don't have to live the way we used to be. We don't have to live in the same old, down-in-the-dumps, hopeless condition. Once again, we come to a crossroads, and some are not thankful because they've never experienced the victory in Christ Jesus. They don't know what it is. My wife and I, at different times, we sing, "Then Jesus came." Lester Roloff used to sing that was the opening to his family altar program for many years. And why he sang that song is because that was the testimony of the ministry that he did. He worked with young people. He worked with drug addicts, alcohol addicts, and saw them get saved and saw them get victory. Because we cannot get ourselves out of our slavery until Jesus comes and takes that burden of sin away, takes the shackles of sin. And when I sing that, and at different times you've probably noticed, I get emotional. Because I know what I used to be before I got saved. But then Jesus came and changed it all. It's still real to me. Whenever I sing that song, it's real to me even today what Christ has done in my life and is continuing to do. And man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And sometimes I look in my mind and I think, what if I had never gotten saved? I scare myself. I get scared. Where would I be if I had not gotten saved? I might be dead and burning in hell right now. Oh, we need to be thankful. Amen. And if you haven't given over your sin, just give it up. Amen. And live victorious because you're missing out on something wonderful. You're missing out on the joys in Christ Jesus. You're missing out. You are making your life miserable. It's not the devil doing it to you. It's not God doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself. But you can have the victory if you'll just take it this morning. And now, number four, we need to be thankful for God's holy word. Amen? We need to be thankful for the Bible. Amen? We have God's perfect and holy word. What we are reading today and believing in today is God's holy word. Holy means perfect. It means pure. It means without error. These are not man's words. Amen? We believe that, I hope. Amen? Now, these are not man's words. These are not what man thinks God said. Amen. Oh, if you read the modern versions, that's what they say. Oh, this is what we think God said. These are the thoughts of God. Man's paraphrased it. I'm sorry, I don't want a paraphrased Bible. I want God's words, every single one right here. As a pastor, do you believe that? I absolutely do. Every single word in here, God chose. Every punctuation mark, God chose it and put it there. If it isn't, then it's not God's words then. Well, the originals were done in Hebrew and Greek. Yes, and this is a perfect translation of it. I don't believe in what Peter Ruckman did and that everyone was inspired and had these old control taken over. I don't believe that. But I believe that God enabled those men to make a perfect translation because they wanted to do that. They were holy men. This is not what man thinks God said or meant. This is exactly what God said word for word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16, verse that we know well. Maybe you've never heard it before. 2 Timothy 3:16, a verse every Christian should know and have memorized. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the purpose of the Bible. There are several areas that we should be thankful for according to God's word. First of all, that God gave it to man. God didn't have to give us his word, but he did. Aren't you glad of that? That you have a Bible. Not only that, but that holy men of God obeyed, and 1 Peter says, holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, that they wrote down what God told them to say. If you look at the prophets, the holy men of old, the prophets said, thus saith the Lord. This is what he said. What happens? Quotation mark. This is exactly what God said. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. They were afraid to because God pronounces a curse upon those that add to or take away from his word. Look at Revelation, but that applies to the whole Bible. If you take away or add to his word and to what he has commanded and add to it, it's an abomination to him. Aren't you so glad that those men, that Isaiah and Moses and all these ones that God used, Peter and Paul and Timothy and Luke and all of these ones, Matthew and Mark, all of these ones, aren't you so thankful that I said, yes, Lord, I'll write down exactly what you say. Amen? We'll be thankful for that. That holy men died preserving God's word. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, have died to protect God's word. Men have died trying to translate it into the language of their people. We ought to be thankful that holy and devout men faithfully translated the Bible for English-speaking people, that we can hold it in our hand and say, this is God's word. We have a great gift in the English-speaking world. You know, in America, we have so much. We have so much in America. There are so many countries around the world that you can't go to the corner store and buy a Bible like you can in America. You can go to the dollar store down the street and buy a Bible. You can go to any Walmart and buy a Bible. You can go anywhere in this country and buy a Bible. You can call up any number of good conservative Christian organizations, and they'll send you a Bible for free in the mail if you ask for one. And there are so many people all over this world that they don't have the Bible in their language. We ought to be thankful. That gives us a great responsibility, amen. A responsibility to see those, make sure they have the Bible. But it's becoming increasingly harder and harder because the knowledge of language is a perishing study, and it is diminishing, and it has been corrupted by so many liberal people, liberal teachers, that we don't have the good standard, they don't have the good processes and the right type of philosophies behind them to see to make sure that the Bible is translated accurately. There's still some, but it's hard to find them today. And also that we can have absolute confidence in it for faith and practice, that we don't doubt it one little bit. Aren't you thankful for the Bible? Not just today. So, of course, Pastor, I hold my Bible high, but if you're thankful for it, what are you going to do with it? You're going to read it. You're going to obey it because it's precious. It's not something to sit on the shelf. It's not something that sits on the coffee table and collects dust. If you're truly thankful for something, what do? You use it. Amen? You know, we do this every year at Christmas time. Every single one of us do. We get a gift, and it's not what you expected. Right? Maybe it's that light-up Christmas tie that's hideous, but someone thought it would be a great gift for you. And you know, what do you say? Thank you. That's exactly what I always wanted. Liar. Right? We say, thank you. That's exactly. And what do? We wear it next Sunday. Oh, I love it. And then you get home. I hate this. It's going in the white elephant gift exchange next year. No, it's going to, it hangs in the closet, and you don't wear it until someone asks you, oh yeah, I forgot I had that tie, and you got to wear it the next week, right? Is that truly being thankful? Think about that. That's a type of hypocrisy we have in America sometimes. That we're polite, and you know, we do that with God. We're polite to God. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for your word, and then we just set it down and don't do a thing with it. We're not thankful at all. We're not. We don't see it as precious. We don't see it as what we need. We don't see it as our guidebook for life. Not suggestions, our guide for wisdom and instruction. And that brings us to our last point, number 5, possessions. Possessions are last on this list because everything that has gone before is more important. Amen. The Bible is more important than possessions. Your family is more important than possessions. Victory, spiritual victory is more important than possessions. You can have nothing but have victory and joy in Christ. Amen. And so many people do around the world. They're saved. They don't have much, but they're thankful and they're happy people. I think the more you have, the more it can make you the more miserable. You have more to worry about. Because the more we have, the more we think we don't have, right? That's how it works. Possessions are last. However, it is important to be thankful for the possessions as well, for we do need them to survive. They have a place, and God gives them to us. Many times we take them for granted because we forget from whom we have received them. Look at Psalm 50 and verse 10. Psalm 50 and verse number 10. Those things that you have at home, you didn't get them. God gave them to you. Well, I worked hard for those things. Who gave you life? God did. Who gave you, enabled you to be trained to do your job? God did. Who gave you intellect to know how to do your job? God did. Who gave you hands and feet and a brain to do those things? God did. Wow, so far we only have one source. That's God. But I did it. But God gave you the ability to do it, so God gets the glory and the credit. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Whoever's in the sound room, can you turn the piano monitor down? It's back echoing up here. Turn the piano monitor down, please. Thank you. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Everything is God's. Amen. Now let's look over at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and 33. Therefore, because of what has gone on before, because of the previous verses about we're to serve God and not money, that we're to choose who we're going to serve and not serve possessions and things of the flesh. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, those that are lost and don't know God. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Meaning that God hasn't forgotten about that you need clothes. God hasn't forgotten about that you need food. Interesting, it doesn't say transportation here. We're blessed to have transportation that we have. Amen? Transportation is not listed here. We should be thankful for that. God provides our every need, especially when we do this. But seek ye first, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take naught for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why possessions are less and less list. We're to seek God's kingdom first. And all these things, God will take care of you if you're seeking his kingdom first. God has provided all your needs physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Amen? He has provided all of our needs. We ought not to make possessions a priority, but we should not dismiss you gave them to us either. You know, Thanksgiving, unfortunately in America, has become a time of getting instead of being thankful for what we have. We all know Black Friday is this coming Friday. Started in 1952 as the designation of the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. It is now an unofficial holiday, and actually in California, it is an official holiday for government workers. No one showed up to work, so might as well make it a holiday, right? And I said, well, how much money is spent on Black Friday weekend? The number is going to boggle your mind. $50.9 billion. Dollars is spent over 4 days in America. To break that down, the average salary, annual salary in America is $72,000 a year. That's average. Man, y'all need to do better. I don't have an average salary then. No, I'm just joking. The Lord knows. I'm thankful. So if you break that down, that means if you did the whole annual salary, that almost 700,000 people, if you put it in that context, spend their entire $72,000 salary in 4 days. So just imagine the scale of that. That's the city of Seattle spending their entire yearly paycheck in 4 days. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. Man, I wish people spent that on the church. Amen. And spend it, give, man, they'll buy their iPhone 10, but they won't tie it to God. They'll go buy their flat panel, their brand new Xbox, which is no different than last year's, but they ought to have a new one and not give to missions. Black Friday deals start before Thanksgiving now. There's a couple years ago they started on Thanksgiving, and now, man, they started last week now online. Before we are even done saying grace for our Thanksgiving dinner, people are thinking about what they can buy next right after dinner's over. Isn't that just like the devil? To take something where we'd be thankful for what we have and turn it into the biggest commercial shopping day that revolves around, look at what I can get I'm getting a good deal, so I must buy it today. I don't think it's right to go shopping on Black Friday on Thursday because you're supposed to be thankful that day. Not going out and buy, well, I'm getting a good deal. Doesn't matter. I think we need to be thankful. So, Pastor, are you preaching against me going out on Black Friday? You can go out if you want. I don't like going. I went one time. I was cured. Because, I watch people. It wasn't because of inconvenience, because the rife amount of selfishness and greed, it disgusted me. To see people go to that link, it's like a mob. I gotta get it! And if somebody else got them, they curse them out. But I deserve that. Just go to the Walmart across town and go buy it over there. You didn't need it in the first place. It's not like you don't see Black Friday deals on food, do you? No, we don't. Let's remember to be thankful, not only on Thursday, but every day that we live on this earth before for the glory of God. But that's just like the devil, to turn something that's good to worship God and make it into something. You know what? And that is spreading around the world. It's now Black Friday in Canada, the UK, spreading all through Europe, all over, even China has it now. Oh, we've got to do it because they discovered how they can make money. What a waste. And now everybody, we have Black Friday parties and they're becoming a bigger deal than Thanksgiving Day. A time that was set aside, I believe, by Abraham Lincoln to be thankful to God for what we have in our country. But we're fast forgetting what we have. The generation we're bringing up, oh, we don't have enough. I have nothing. I've got to have the 5-bedroom house and the 3-car garage by the time I'm 23. I have nothing. And young people want now what it took their parents 30 years to get and worked hard for. And these different places, and you see Rent-A-Center, you see Conn's Furniture Store. Yeah, that's a good name, Conn's. That's a good name. I like that name. No, because they are. They go down, and I hate it because they prey on our soldiers. Oh, you've got a paycheck from the government. We'll just take it right out of your check. And I remember I was there, and they were having, they had this refrigerator. It wasn't even a nice refrigerator. It was just like the refrigerator you can buy, anybody can buy for about $400 cash at Lowe's. But you can pay $20 a week for 3 years. Man, that's a good deal. $20 a week for a refrigerator. I feel like I said, add that up. That's $1,000 in the first year. You're paying $3,000 for a $400 refrigerator. That's conning somebody. That's defrauding someone. That's not right. And everyone's, oh, well, this is a great deal. It's not right. We've worshipped this instead of being thankful for what we have. You know what? It wasn't until my parents, I'll never forget this washer and dryer. After this, I'm done. But they had a washer and dryer. This washer, I think, was from 1978. And my mom and my dad had bought it new. Fast forward to the year 2003. And it finally died. And they went and bought a new one. But they kept that, and they didn't go say, hey, it looks a little old, so I need to go buy a new one. It's got a scratch on it. Only one time in my whole life, 20 years, they bought a new dryer, one new dryer, and they bought one new washer. They bought one new dishwasher, one new oven, because they were already, the time I was around, they were already 20 years old. And they bought them new, they replaced them. Why? When our oven almost started on fire. Oh, we need a new oven, And just use it until it was done. Oh, I just don't like the way it looks. It's old. Oh, it looks old. It's got a scratch on it. It doesn't have the new, but it doesn't have Bluetooth. So, it works. Because that's what drives unthankfulness in our land. And that's what drives people making money. That's what drives our debt problem, is unthankfulness. So this morning, you know, some of you are shaking your head. This is absolutely the problem. You know why? Because you grew up with not, maybe not much. And you know how much you have now. You know, some of you is like, man, why is he getting on Black Friday? Why is he getting all these things? Because it makes us to have a temptation to be unthankful. If you go out on Friday and buy something at a store, that's fine. But make sure you're doing it for the right reason and not because you're unthankful for what you have. Amen? Because then it's sin. Then it's sin. Yes, can you get a good deal on Friday? That's great. But we can get good deals any other time too. Amen? But we have to be careful that the reason behind it is not because I want. It says, God, thank you for what you've given me in my life. I wouldn't be here without you. Are we thankful? Let's make sure we are tonight, this morning. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something. Maybe he said, I've forgotten to be thankful about an area in my life. Let's get that right with God this morning. Let's pray.